I've entitled this Walking in Truth and Love. Okay, walking in truth and love. You know, in life, there is this matter of balance. And the experts all around the world talk about balance. And they agree that everything in life has a balance. I remember watching an act in a circus that needed absolute balance from a height that can either paralyze the person or cause his death. And what the organizers had done in that, they removed the safety net. If something should happen, it would mean almost immediate injury or death to the person. And they did this to basically work up the audience in terms of, wow, this guy is so high up there and he's doing this balancing act. And it kept everyone on the edge of the seats. You know what happens? There is the drum roll. And it's amazing how music is used to stir up the emotions. And then the person doing the act walks the tightrope several meters above the ground. And everyone's eyes is just fixed on this guy. And there is absolute silence as he approaches halfway. And he almost kind of falls. And the whole audience gasps, you know. And the guy maintains his balance. And then there is the drum roll again. And his fellow comrades watched him do this over and over again because they are involved in the circus. And yet, when you looked at the concern on their faces, it was genuine. And when the act is over and he's safely on the other side, there is relief. And a rapturous and thunderous applause follows as the person takes a bow to appreciate the applause that comes. Now, balance, dear friends, is critical not just in walking a tightrope from several meters above the ground. Balance is critical in our daily walk in order to keep our bodies upright. You can ask Logan the question. He'll tell you. You know, amputees, especially feet amputees, will tell you this. It's a daily challenge for them not to have a leg to walk on naturally. And balance is not just important in the physical world. Balance is important with respect to how we live our lives on a day-to-day basis. And the Lord has given us principles by which to live by. And we spoke about one aspect of that balance, and that is truth. And we define truth according to what the Bible had to say about it. And we understand as Christians that Jesus not only spoke about truth, he claimed to be the truth. And Jesus, as you know, declared, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And we also established that all truth is God's truth. And it's how we interpret the truth that becomes a problem. But that is only one aspect of knowing God. Truth is just one aspect of knowing God. In order to keep the balance, the Apostle John is keen to remind us of the other end of the spectrum, namely love. See, truth and love are inseparable partners. And this truth finds its expression in God the Father. And you will notice that twice in the paragraph referenced, there is reference made to that which was from the beginning. Take a look at verses 5 and 6 with me, would you? And now, dear lady, I am not writing a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you've heard from the beginning, His commands is that you walk in love. Now, why is the apostle so keen to always go back to the point of reference? He wants the church to know what he is saying now is important. And what he will say tomorrow will also be important. And he will continue to say what he is saying, because it arises out of foundational teaching. The problem arises when people move away from the foundational teaching given to us through the inspiration of Scripture. See, we do what is convenient and say what is convenient because it sits well with our lifestyle. And when this happens, truth then is compromised, and we convince ourselves that the half-truth we have come to believe is actually the truth. And no one can convince us otherwise. Abraham fell into this category as you read Genesis. He didn't speak the whole truth. He spoke the half-truth. Of course, his wife was his half-sister. And we know that he repeated that truth, that half-truth. Now, friends, when we live like this, we are not acting in love. Do you think Abraham was acting in love towards his wife when he spoke half the truth? No. Because when he declared that this was his sister, Pharaoh took his wife away. Although it was fine for him because now he's feeling safe, but it's not fine for God. Because God looks at this and he says, this is despicable. I'm angry with this. This is not right. And so, Abraham, the man of faith, acted foolishly when he went down to Egypt during the famine. See, let's have a look at Genesis 12, verses 11 to 13 there. And just read it. It'll appear on the screen. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are, and she was. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say, you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Can you see how foolish Abraham was? He failed to trust God's word when God said to him, Abraham, out of you, many nations are going to come. Trust me. Don't do things in your own strength. Trust me. He was somehow thinking that he was helping the Lord here in doing what he was doing, but he was doing the wrong thing. And friends, it is absolutely sad when the world looks at the church and rebukes the church for not living and walking in truth and love. We compromise the truth when we fail to trust God. And the Apostle John is saying, the gospel that you have come to hear about, the gospel that you have come to see and believe, finds its way back to the beginning. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 tells us this. And if you look at 1 John chapter 1, it says, let's pick it up, that which was from the beginning. Can you see? See, Apostle John keeps going back to the beginning. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. See, God's truth will remain God's truth, even if the church has to be rebuked by the pagan world who do not live according to absolute truth. Because the pagan world knows how the church should live. They know the expectation of the church. They put the church in a high, on a high level. And so when they see the church living not according to God's truth, but living according to the world, then they question it. And this is what happened with Pharaoh. He rebuked Abraham because Abraham knew the truth, but he was not living by the truth. When he offered his wife, didn't offer her, but he caused her and put her in a compromising situation. What a privileged position the community of believers were in. Chosen by God, blessed in the Lord Jesus, with a saving experience of grace, mercy, and peace. And they were exuding and exemplifying truth and love, but it did not last for long. What had happened in this church? Well, what happened in this church is that a group of people left the church, not with the blessing of the apostles. They may have thought they had a noble task of moving away and getting and starting their own church. And one can commend them for their zeal in getting involved with missionary activity. They were drawing a number of people. The tragedy, says John, is that they were not preaching the foundational gospel. It is not a gospel of grace, mercy, and peace in the Lord Jesus. They were preaching a different gospel. It was a gospel of half-truths. And what does it matter, says the divisive group? People are coming in their numbers. They like what they hear. They love what they see. And what they hear captures their emotions. What they see appeals to their lustful desires. And what they touch appeals to their greed and self-centered hearts. Sadly, though, the gospel is maligned and people become satisfied with half measures. And this is what this divisive group was doing. They were not preaching the whole truth. They were preaching half the truth. And the other half was to appeal to the hearers. Well, you know what is happening within the news right now. A pastor has been taken to court for selling girls. These are young, vulnerable children in his hands. And he's going to give an account before the Almighty God, let alone the courts. The world looks at it and scorns and laughs and spits because they know what the church should stand for. But notice verse 4 in 2 John. He commends the church for living according to the truth, just as the Father had commanded. It says that it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And you notice that the divisive group at this stage was a small number. Although at first reading it may seem that it is a large number that left the established church of people and basically and misled other people in leaving as well. It is not so. By and large, the community that John has not come into contact with the people that he's talking about here in this passage, are indeed walking in the truth. Most of them are walking in the truth. How do we know that? Well, it is simply the expression of joy that the apostle exudes in this letter. And Mervyn Eloff puts it this way, and he says in his book, the elder has good hopes that the some are evidence of the fact that the many with whom he has not had direct contact also continue to walk in the truth. In other words, what he's saying is many of the believers remain faithful to the truth. And John celebrates this with them as he expressed such happiness and joy for them. Now let me share what John is experiencing here. A few months ago, one of our members left this church to follow a career call. And what really brought joy to me was that I was consulted with respect to finding a gospel-centered church in a foreign land. Another church member also moved following a husband in marriage and following a career to another province within the country. And again, I, as the pastor, was consulted with respect to a church. And this couple is now fellowshipping in the same denomination with the same teaching they received from the beginning and are enjoying it. And some people will say that it does not matter which church I go to as long as I am going to church. Friends, it does matter which church you are associated with. It does matter which church you are connected to. It does matter how your life will continue to be shaped. The question that needs to be constantly asked, is the church following the foundational truths as laid down in the Bible? Is the church serious about growing its members in love and truth? Is the church doing what it is expected to do in terms of its ongoing commitment to the truth? Not just to the pastor of the church, just to remain loyal to some kind of tradition. No, friends, this is not tradition or pure sentimentality or sentimental attachments. To walk in the truth is a command from the Father. To walk in the truth is the heartbeat of the Father. And to walk in the truth is a full expression of God the Son. To walk in the truth is to become more and more like Jesus. And that's what we are called to do, walk in truth. But that's one side. If you walk in truth without walking in love, you'll be a very cold person. Am I right? Because you'll fill yourself with head knowledge without really allowing that head knowledge to express itself in the heart. So both the pastor and the people are encouraged to love one another. Have a look at verse 5. Verse 5 says to us, "And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another." Now, what does this love mean in practice? What does this love entail in my daily walk with Jesus? Have a look at verse 6. And verse 6 says this, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." You see, the pastor here defines this love as walking according to his commands or walking according to the Father's commands. This is not the pastor telling you. This is God telling you. This is Jesus telling you. This is not my command or the council's command. This is God's new command. And this is as old as the command given to Moses. What was the command given to Moses by God? Well, the first four commandments is summed up like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We actually read that command that was on the screen this morning. Love the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 5 says verses 6 to 11. And Jesus, knowing this command, summed it up for the religious leaders when he was asked, "Teacher, Rabbi, which is the most important commandment in the law?" And in Matthew 22, 36 to 40, we see that Jesus responded. And he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. What is Jesus saying? He's saying the same thing the Father is saying. Jesus not only quoted his Father, but he obeyed his Father in everything. And that is why his Father could say, "This is my Son," in Matthew 3:17. "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And everyone perhaps in this church will say, "Yes, Pastor, I do love the Lord. I don't doubt the claim that you love Jesus and you love God. I don't doubt that. But if you do, what is the practical outworking of loving God? How do we measure such love? The practical outworking of loving God is to love my fellow brothers and sisters." Have a look at verse 6 again. And verse 6 says, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands." The principle of truth and love is bound up in and between love and obedience to the Father. Jesus himself said, "If you love me, what will you do? Keep my commandments." So this is where truth and love finds its fulfillment. If I am committed to loving Jesus, then it must be seen in my commitment to serve Jesus. And how do I serve Jesus? Then I serve Jesus by the way I act towards this love that has been given to me. I will not act like a stranger in my own house, waiting to be served, rather than finding ways and means to serve. If I am committed to loving Jesus, then it must be seen in my commitment to fellowship around God's word. If I'm committed to Jesus, then I must be committed in obedience to his word. And the question that you need to ask yourself, which is the Bible, what the Bible is asking is, are you obedient to God's word? Not to Pastor Raj, not to the council, not to some leadership and hierarchy up there, but are you committed to God's word? Because that is the acid test of your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, this past weekend was a long weekend. And we love long weekends, isn't it? Because so many things happen. We go on holiday, we can be with families and so on. So on this long weekend, I was asked to stay for a braai by family members. And so a conversation developed around the braai. And the conversation was around commitment to fellowshipping around God's word. The question was raised, "Why aren't you attending the Bible studies?" And the response was, "I come late and I'm too tired." I was just listening. Another family member said, "No, he doesn't come late. He's home by 6 p.m. Cut the excuses. See, our excuses are too often turned to lies and half-truths. That's not the truth. We turn it into half-truths. And half-truths are lies. And you don't see it because you say it all the time. Like Abraham. And God had to rebuke Abraham. Worse, a pagan king had to rebuke Abraham. If I'm committed to loving Jesus, then it must be seen in my commitment to fellowship around God's people. And we are called not to believe or not to be selective, in who our friends are. And who our enemies are. See, Jesus broke down the walls of barriers that the world has created between the poor, the rich and the poor, between slave and free, between Jew and Gentiles, between barbarians and Scythians. We are one in Christ. And all human barriers that sin has created must be broken down. And it starts with you and it starts with me. This is what love is. This is what love is. You know, we've been asked in the early part of this year to accommodate total strangers in our house. We didn't know them. We didn't know them from a bar of soap. But we opened our own. We opened our own. And they were so taken aback. And I put them in the main bedroom and so that they had their own ensuite as well. Hey, this is not like, we thought we were going to, you know, stay somewhere and we're going to squash it up. But they say this was like a 5-star treatment. And that's what you do, brothers and sisters. You treat strangers with love, no matter who they are. And you do the best for them. But too often, it comes down to convenience. They're invading my space. I can't, you know. And so and we kind of have excuses. But God is saying to you and God is saying to me, stop finding excuses and do the right and godly thing. Find the right balance in your life with respect to spiritual things. Walk in truth, but also walk in love. It will make you all the more richer in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we must confess that we do not always get it right. And so often we want to find the right balance between love and truth and truth and love. And oh God Almighty, sometimes there's too much of truth and less love. Sometimes there's an oversupply of love and less truth. Please help us to find the right and godly balance in our lives. And the end result is total obedience to God, the Father. And so we want to commend this time to you. As you've spoken to my heart, I pray that your Spirit will speak to the hearts of every single individual, because they are the church, and corporately we are the church. And God is asking His church to walk in obedience to truth and love. And oh God, help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.